Back in on Sports Talk, our fun Friday edition as we get ready for the big old weekend, folks. Getting into our triple option feature right now, talking about some of the top stories in sports. And guys, I'm going to dip into the Rattler hype. And
guess
what? Diana Russini, Chase Daniel, they have a podcast, got into it a little bit, and Diana Russini talking about how she's been hearing quite a buzz building in the Saints facility about Rattler.
They drafted Spencer Rattler. What's the vibe down there in NOLA?
All right. So I'm so glad you used the word vibe, because NOLA. That I love checking in with teams this time of year. Just like, what's the vibe? Give me the vibe, you know? And the text I received was from someone in the building. Was like, the vibes are really, really high. Capital letters, ooh, right? And so, of course, the follow-up question is, wait, is he going to beat out Carr? Or do we have a quarterback contract? And it was like, no. But we...
They said no. There's no quarterback controversy right now.
No, there is not. But Chase, okay, we got to keep an eye on this one. I think this is going to be a situation where you have the veteran quarterback as the starter, like we see in New England, we see in Pittsburgh. And then once things go a little weird, could they be calling for the backup? The New Orleans Saints have a really good quarterback situation right now in terms of, if Derek Carr doesn't pan out, they have a lot of confidence in what their backup in Rattler can do.
Chase Daniel also responded with the tweet of this video. Also, I just love that Rattler has his own emoji ready, and I think you mentioned that on our podcast.
It makes you like 10% cooler. It doesn't even matter. You could be terrible, but if you have an emoji, like 10%, whatever you're at, plus 10%.
But yeah, of course the vibe is high here, but I still think to talk about the notion that Rattler is going to be taking over for Carr anytime soon is kind of absurd to me. And I think, you know, folks banking on Carr having a rough start to this season and then all of a sudden the Saints are just going to be quick to yank him out to put the rookie in, it does not compute for me.
No, I don't think you – here's the thing with rookies. It's – and this is, you stole my, I was going to go Rattler too, so we're going to kind of just double up on this. It's, I don't mind playing a rookie as a rookie. I don't mind starting a rookie quarterback if the season is toast. I don't want to put a rookie in a situation where they have game pressure of like, if this this is going to be a season that fails because I screwed up.
Right.
Right? Like, I go back to Eli Manning with the Giants. They started Kurt Warner for 9 weeks. They basically, their season was over, and then Eli got the rest of the way, and then he was the starter from that point.
That
I think
makes
that's
more
the
sense,
smart
right
way, because, like, yeah, I want to get him experience, but I don't want to get him experience in a situation where it's going to hurt him more than it's going to help him. And, you know, I've been trying to get to the bottom of, like, why is everyone so mad about the backup quarterback announcement, quote-unquote announcement, which I don't know if you would even announce a backup quarterback in most situations. But I think I've gotten to the bottom of it, which is people have convinced themselves that the decision on who's the backup quarterback this year will somehow hold undue weight on the starter of the future.
Gotcha, and right. Who's the heir apparent.
Exactly. And that's really not what it is. You're picking a backup quarterback this year based on who you think gives you a better chance to win a game if you have to throw them in there. Your backup quarterback, the scenario you put them in, is basically about survival. It's not about development. You don't throw them in the third quarter of a game saying, can you hold this lead, and say, try to develop while you're out there. No, just do what you can. Don't screw up. So it's really not about development. And I think there's a scenario where you say, hey, Jake's the backup this year, because you don't want to throw a rookie into a situation where he's not going to be having good protection. He's not going to have playmakers. You're going to have a defense teeing off on you because you haven't game planned anything. I think, if you were in a scenario where you had to play a quarterback to start, I think you would be more likely to play Rattler in general, because you have a week of prep and you can game plan, you can do whatever, and he can be prepared to go in there. Because I do think people undervalue the developmental curve from year one to year two, in the sense of, like, everything's going 100 miles an hour in year one. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the number one pick. I don't care if you're the number 150 pick. I don't care if you're whatever Tom Brady was. Everything's going too fast as a rookie. Now you get into year two and things feel like they're slowing down. So I don't know, but either way, I need people to understand that, like, all being the backup quarterback this year, all that guarantees you is that you're the backup quarterback this year. It does not mean anything in terms of, like, oh, you are the future starter of this team. Because I think when Dennis Allen says they're still competing, he's not necessarily saying they're still competing to be the backup. He's saying they're still competing in the sense of like, yeah, who's the next quarterback? That's the competition. And you're going to get into next offseason if you're not going back to Derek. These guys are going to compete. That's the competition. It's not to see who gets to hold the clipboard.
Derek. Charlie, you going to make it a trifecta and talk about Rattler too?
No, I'm going to talk about Lincoln Riley.
Okay.
Guys, looking at, you know, we heard the audio from Brian Kelly earlier
Speaking of snakes.
About Lincoln Riley's offensive scheme, the air raid offense, and how it's been so efficient throughout the years. And I went and looked up the numbers, and I mean, he's right. Since he became a head coach in 2017 at Oklahoma, did you guys know that Lincoln Riley's worst point per game year total in that it finished in the FBS? It was 8th.
Wow.
Out of 130 teams.
Yeah.
So going year by year, 2017 OU, they finished with 45.1 points per game, 12-2 record. They finished 3rd. In the FBS. In 2018, 48.4 points per game, 12-2, finished 1st in the FBS. 2019 OU, 12-2 record, 42.1 points per game, 6th. 2020 OU, 9-2, 43 points per game. 2021 OU, 39.1 points per game. That was the lowest total, was 39.1 points per game, which finished 8th. And then 2022 at USC, first year there, 41.4 points per game with an 11-3 record, finished 3rd in total points per game. 2023 USC, 41.8 points per game. Despite that 41.8 points per game, they finished with an 8-5 record, which is the worst record in Lincoln Riley's coaching tenure so far. Guys, he just puts up points. There's no other way to put it. In 92 games that he's played, a 74-18 record, and a big reason for that, his team's averaged 43 points per game. Yeah. 43 points per game in a sample size of 92 games. So LSU's defense, yes, we've heard they've been improved under new DC Blake Baker.
Right.
They've got a good assistant coaching staff there. It's going to be a test, regardless of, you know, new quarterback Miller Moss. Like, as Joe DeLeon said, still a 4-star quarterback, just a guy kind of similar with Garrett Nussmeier that's stuck with their program, sat behind Heisman-winning quarterbacks, and they have playmakers on the field. So, you know, expect some points and expect some fireworks, I would say, in Las Vegas, because that's all that Lincoln Riley's done for basically his entire career.
Definitely seems like we're headed for a shootout in Las Vegas on Sunday night.